As birds chirp and a blazing heat pours down on a small village in Wote, eastern Kenya, just as Mutuku, a local resident, is busy at work. Just as is placing large castor plant leaves into a small cage of meshed wire.
The work that I do here is for feeding the worms. This work helps us a lot. This is where we earn our livelihoods.
The worms are tiny, about the size of 3 rice grains, but they have huge appetites and can eat up to 30,000 times their weight of leaves. They feed only on castor leaves, so Justus must ensure that he gives them these leaves in plenty. He must also ensure that they remain healthy.
You need to understand what the worms need just by looking at them. You need to discern if they are sick and then remove those that are sick.
Justus is among dozens of villagers in Makueni County who are now earning livelihoods from these worms. For the uninitiated, it can be a bit confusing to grasp how wriggly worms end up producing high-end silk. Teresa Njue is a production coordinator at Tosheka Textiles, a social enterprise that works with local people like Justus to rear silkworms and eventually produce silk. She explains that when silkworms reach a certain age, they spit out saliva.
When they spit out the saliva, it cocoons itself with the saliva, and this is how the fiber is formed. So when it oxidizes and becomes firm, that's how the silk is formed. And the quality is usually determined by how you feed it, how well you feed it, and how clean you keep the worm. It's not determined by weather patterns.
This enterprise gives farmers young silkworms so that they can rear them and harvest from them silk cocoons after about 19 days. The farmers then make money by selling these silk cocoons to the social enterprise. However, earning does not end there.
Then the women also earn from the spinning. Once we have done the degumming, we take it back to them and they spin it.
In order to ensure that the Eri silkworm that thrives in humid areas is as healthy as possible, Tosheka Textiles rears the silkworms to full maturity. When they become moths or butterflies, they mate and the females produce eggs that then hatch into worms. After a few days, the worms are given to select local groups for rearing until they form silk cocoons.
These are the cocoons. In this stage, we call them shells, cocoon shells, because the pupa has been removed. The gumming we do it manually, and it's just boiling the cocoon, using a bit of soap and bicarbonate of soda, just to remove any dirt and the gum. Once the gum is removed, you dry it out, and you have your silk floss.
The silk floss then goes back to the select local groups for hand spinning, which entails extracting silk strings from the floss by pulling and twisting. At the end of the day, these silkworms are not just spitting out silk. They are also creating jobs. This job creation potential was a major reason why Lucy Bigham, together with her husband Herman Bigham, founded this social enterprise in 2011.
If you look at just the silk, the post-harvest activity, you have the spinning. You can create employment in terms of hiring people. You have the spinning. You can have women, a lot of people engaged in spinning. You have the dyeing. You have the printing. You have the weaving. Yeah. And then after weaving, the stitching. It goes on and on.
Just across the river, about a kilometer from the grainage where the silkworms are hatched and reared, is a workshop where actual silk is woven. The meticulous weaving process in this workshop starts with the spooling, an activity that is being undertaken today by a young man known as Calvin Omondi.
I am working on spooling. Spooling is the process of placing this thread on the spool so that it can be used in the weaving.
The silk threads that Calvin is spooling are the ones that have been spun by farmers from across the river. These spools are then used in the handlooms to weave silk fabric. Jacqueline Peter is one of the local women who is hard at work at the handlooms.
You'll die, whatever.
Spool. You put the spool in the shuttle and start weaving.
For sure.
This warping frame will guide you on how to measure the length and the width of the material you're weaving. From here to here, it's 1 meter. Before you start weaving, you have to know how many meters you want to weave. When you pass the thread here, it comes out on this other side. This is the weft and this is the warp.
Weaving the silk fabrics entails rich weaving skills from the weavers. They must be able to weave specialized designs in order to satisfy an ever-growing number of clients. Susan Bibi, another member of the local community, also spends her days using the handlooms to weave high-quality silk with intricate designs.
Then you know what is using. We put 4 threads here, but for this Marianne design, we weave the threads differently. You have to weave in this manner if you want the pattern to come out right.
The pattern came out just right, but more than that, Susan's livelihood has also come out just right. Indeed, the story of Airy Silkworms has proven that silk can move from farm to fabric to fashion, and in the process, create jobs for hundreds of people in rural eastern Kenya. For RFI, I'm David John Bokali, reporting from Makueni County in eastern Kenya.